exposing the spirit of discouragement. We've been talking about discouragement, and I think this is the fourth session. We looked at the revelation, we looked at disappointment, and we looked at overcoming disappointment. And last week, I spoke to you about knowing what discouragement is. Today, I'm going to talk to you about exposing the spirit of discouragement. I want you to see what it is. Nobody gets discouraged overnight. Discouragement is not an event. Discouragement is a process. You first start by being disappointed. Disappointment is normal. Everybody gets disappointed in life, one way or the other. But it's not what happens to you that matters. It is what you do to handle what has happened to you. It is how you handle it. One thing will befall or happen to two people, but each of them will handle it differently, so they get different outcomes. When you get disappointed and you stay disappointed, you talk about it day after day, and you talk about it day after day, and you stay there for so long, you graduate into discouragement. And when you get discouraged, and you stay there for so long, and you keep talking about it, and keep talking about it, using your tongue, which is the pen of a ready writer, keep writing it on the tablet of your spirit, with time, you'll become discouraged. And when you discourage and you stay there for so long, whatever you are disappointed and discouraged about will die in your hands. It's a process. Disappointment, discouragement, and death. If you've missed it, I urge you to please get the CDs. They are now available in our welcome center. Today, exposing the spirit of discouragement. And I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first 6 verses. 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 6. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I just neglected to appreciate the young man who led us in worship. I think his name is Kofi, right? I remember leading worship at the age of 19. Way to go, son. When I started leading worship, I was 19. And just to see what God has done. Give God praise. Keep it up. The sky is the limit. Amen. Exposing the spirit of discouragement. From 1 Samuel chapter 29, David had left the soil of Israel and had gone to the Philistines because Saul wanted to kill him. While he was with the Philistines, you know the Philistines are the enemies of Israel, or they were the enemies of Israel. While he was there, he went to the king of the Philistines called Achish. Excuse me. And he acted like he was a madman. And Achish welcomed him and gave him a place to stay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So while he was there, Achish was going to fight Israel. So David and his men, the 400 men who had met him and gathered around him, joined the forces of Achish, and they were all gathered in a city called Aphek, and they were going to fight Israel. Now, can you imagine David going to fight Israel? His plan was, while they were there, then he would turn around and fight for God's people. Somehow, the elders of the Philistines caught the plan. So while the king was all excited, Achish was saying, oh, David is going to fight for us. The elders or the lords of the Philistines said, this David boy is too loyal to Saul. When we go and the battle is against us, he will turn and kill us. So they sent him back. David and his men then lived in a city called Ziklag. So now they returned to Ziklag. Unfortunately for them, when they got to Ziklag, after 3 days, the Amalekites had come. And they had come to literally burn the city. In other words, everything they had been burned down. Burned it. A scorched earth policy. They just burned everything. Their houses, their investments, their savings, everything. Everything had been burned down. Thankfully, David's wives and the wives of the people and the children of the people were not killed, but they were now taken captives. They had become the properties of the Amalekites. So they came back, and verse 2 says, these people had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captives. Verse 4, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. I want you to note a few things. Both David and his men all went to Aphek together. Number 2, both David and all the 400 men returned to Ziklag together. Number 3, both David and all the men had all lost everything. Everything had been burnt. It wasn't like they burnt the things or the belongings of some and left some. Everyone lost everything. Number 4, everyone had their wives, their sons, their daughters taken captives, all of them together. Nobody was spared. All of them were now prisoners. They had been taken away. And you know the amazing thing? Look at verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. So both David and all the men wept together. They were mourning what they had lost. All of them cried together. And Bible says they wept until they had no more power to weep. That's when you've crossed from one level to another. You change gear. You weep until no more tears. In fact, no more power to weep. In other words, weeping had lost its importance because they had gone beyond weeping. They came back, they were disappointed. Everything was gone. So the first day they came, that was disappointment. Everything was gone. Oh, where's my wife? Oh, where's my daughter? Oh, where's my son? Oh, where's my bicycle? Where's my car? Oh, everything is gone. Disappointment. Okay. But then it moved and they began to weep and weep and weep and they were very discouraged. So they had no more power to weep. Verse 5 is important because the writer is telling us that David also lost his two wives. Please don't marry two. Marry one. You are not David. Amen. And David had lost his wives as well. Verse 6. But somewhere along the line, something happened. Something changed. See, something changed. They were all weeping together. They were all crying. They were mourning. Hey, I miss my wife. I miss my children. Can you imagine? Sisters, when you're not there, the men cry. You just don't know. They cry. They just act like they are tough. No. I'll tell you the truth. They do. They cry. They cried and cried on until they had no more power to weep. So while we're all crying and we're all crying and crying together, I mean, this man will cry. And then the other man will pick up. and then cried until they had all exhausted their tears. Their capacity for crying was gone. Can you imagine 400 men crying? After they had all wept together, somehow, the 400 men looked at David and they said, "We will stone you." Why are you laughing? It sounds funny, right? They all went together. They all lost everything together. They all returned together. They all wept together until they had no more tears to weep. But somehow, they now turned to David. Said, "David, we want to stone you." Because the Bible says the soul of all the people was grieved. They had now become discouraged. Now, note here, it didn't say David and the people. He said the soul of the people was grieved. Because when David got to a certain junction, he stopped there. He said, "If I go any further, I go from discouragement to death. I have to now take a break." And Bible says David strengthened himself in the Lord. I'll talk more about it when I show you how to overcome discouragement. He strengthened himself in the Lord. But somehow, the 400 men kept going. Now they moved from disappointment. They got to discouragement. And what was the next step? Death. They wanted to now kill David. You see how it progresses? When these men gathered around David, the Bible says they were what I call the three D's. The only degrees they had were three. A lot of them were D's. They were in debt, they were discontented, and they were in distress. They came around David. The anointing on David's lives now began to put them together and make them into a marching army. They now became warriors. They now learned the art of warfare. They had now been super. They've been fighting. They've been winning. They've been conquering. They are now, when they came, they didn't have their wives and their sons and daughters. They came to David. They gathered to David in the cave of Adullam. But now we see them, there's increase, progress. They have their wives. They have their children. They are settled in a city called Ziklag. They even have stuff which have been burnt. But when they became discouraged, they somehow forgot about all that David had done for them. And they turned to David and said, "We will stone you." Why? Because the soul of the people was grieved, was discouraged. Not David's soul. They was grieved, bitter. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, please be careful. Discouragement has the power to get you to forget the goodness of people around you. The same man who has been good to you, the same woman who has been good to you, the same manager, your boss who has been good to you, somewhere down the line, when you get discouraged, if you are not careful, if you are not careful, if your soul, if you allow your soul to become bitter, you will turn around and stone that same person. If you don't get to the point where you remember where you were at when God picked you, then the same pastor who has been used of God to be a blessing to you, you pick up a stone and you stone him. I know you won't say amen. I know it doesn't happen here. The other place, not here. But be careful, because discouragement has that power. It's a dangerous spirit. It's amazing. When you read that story further, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He came up with a strategy. They pursued. They found the people. You know, when they brought the people, I don't see in that account people come, "Oh, thank you, David. Thank you, David." No, everybody took their wife and their children, went to their quarters. That's all. Case finished. Now, how would David now be able to lead those people again? That is where a heart that has learned to overcome discouragement comes in. Else, you know, say a good African will say, once beaten, twice shy. These folks, they wanted to stone me. Forget it. Next time, each one for himself, God for us all. No. No. Second thing I want to show you this morning is from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, as we expose the spirit of discouragement. Proverbs 17, 22 says, "A merry heart, a happy heart, a joyful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." A merry heart is like antibiotics. It's like anti-inflammatory medication. It's like a medication. A merry heart, a happy heart, is a cure. When you take a pill, supposedly, it's meant to cure you. Now, I know it, you know, there will be side effects here and there, but forgive all the side effects. The primary purpose is to bring cure to your body, right? Bible says when your heart is merry, your heart is happy, your heart is joyful, it is like taking, you guys have APC here, you know APC. No paracetamol. You know no paracetamol. Okay, you don't have any good medication around here. Okay, what do you have? Aspirin. Okay, it's like it's like taking aspirin. A merry heart, folks. Let me tell you, it is not a good thing to carry around a heavy heart. It's not a good thing to carry around a discouraged heart, because Bible says, but a broken spirit, and I'll show you in a moment, a broken spirit means a discouraged spirit, dries up the bones. Now, when your bones get dried, what are we saying? Where in this city will you find dry bones? In the cemetery or in the medical school laboratory? One or the other. So, a happy heart does good like medicine. In other words, it cures you. But when your heart, when your spirit is broken, It gives you dry bones, and dry bones are only found in the cemetery. They are found in the tomb. So literally speaking, a discouraged spirit will kill you. Discouragement is not something to toy with. It has only one agenda. It is to kill you. I told you last week, it is transferable. Somebody can get discouraged and can talk you and talk you and talk to you, and before you realize, you are also discouraged as well. But the thing probably didn't even happen to you, but they transferred it to you. Stay away from this spirit. It has only one agenda. It has only one agenda. It is to give you dry bones, to drive you to your cemetery, drive you to your womb, I mean your tomb, and close you up. In the name of Jesus, that will not happen to you. I say you will live and fulfill all your days in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command that even the spirit of death will not knock at your door until you have fulfilled all your destiny, until you've done all that God wants you to do. Now, so you're going to take watch, take a good look at this spirit, because discouragement has one agenda. It is to drive you to your tomb, children of God. A merry heart, a happy heart is like good medicine. Go around happy people. When you see somebody who is happy, what happens? The whole environment is happy. You know, you got everybody is happy. Hey, hey, the guy is happy. You can't, you know, some people get upset because somebody is happy, because you have a discouraged spirit. How come they are so happy? Eh? You go to that church, hey, why are they dancing like that? Because you don't know how to dance. Just lose your feet, just dance. You know, when you are happy, when your heart is merry, when your heart is not heavy, Bible says it is like medicine, it cures you. But when your heart is heavy and broken and discouraged, it will drive you to your cemetery. Folks, never let it come out of your mouth and say, I am discouraged, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when you get there, you hold yourself, break it, and move out of it. And say, hey, discouragement, you have one agenda. Take me to my grave before my time. A lot of people have been killed by discouragement, not by cancer. Killed by discouragement, not by a witch or a wizard. If you watch the spirit of discouragement, forget all the wizards. You have power over them. How many times have you heard somebody hear the results of the stock market? And then he sees he lost so much, and they get a heart attack and they die. Because he thinks that, I lost all my money, I'm good for nothing. Cream. Yes. Extreme discouragement. Now, please give me the word. There's a word in the Hebrew. The word discouragement in the Hebrew is the word shataf. And look at it. To be discouraged is the word shataf. And if you are taking notes, I encourage you to take this. It's very important. It means to be crushed. It means to be broken. Are you getting it? So to be discouraged is to be broken. Now you see, a broken spirit dries up the bones. To be discouraged is to be crushed, is to be broken, is to be afraid, is to be dismayed, is to be confounded, is to be alarmed, is to despair, is to break. When you are discouraged, one of them is to be broken. Now, have you heard this word before? Somebody broke my heart. Have you heard it before? You heard it before? Now, when do people say that? Somebody they really expected to love, or somebody they loved turned around and instead of loving them, left them or disappointed them or gave them pain for gain, whatever. So we say you have a broken heart. Now, your heart is an organ. That organ is still there. It's pumping blood. And then you say, I have a broken heart. It's not broken. It's still working. So why do you say you have a broken heart? When the organ is still pumping. You know why? All you are saying is you have a discouraged heart. Because the word discouraged, chataf, also means to be broken. You see, you've been saying the right thing. You've been using the right Hebrew word. You just didn't know the danger of the word. So every time you hear, oh, I have a broken heart, it's just as saying, I have a discouraged heart. So now, when you take this meaning and take it back to Proverbs 17:22, it can read like this. A merry heart does good like medicine. So now, instead of broken, put there discouraged. Let's all read it and let's see how it will sound. But what? But what did you say? That's what? Thank you. I rest my case. So now you understand the spirit of discouragement has one agenda. It's to dry up your bones. I'm telling you, Jesus asked me to warn his church. Church, if you are listening to me via CD or DVD or whatever, wherever you are, the spirit of discouragement has one agenda. It is to dry up your bones. It is to drive you to your grave before your time. Confront the spirit, avoid the spirit, break the spirit, break loose from the spirit, and tell yourself, you will have no power over my life. Now, give me just a few minutes to touch on a very important subject so I can bring this part to an end. Elijah. 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 Great prophet of God. Man, trust me, of all the prophets in the Bible, apart from Jesus Christ, Elijah and Elisha are my favorites. I have great respect for them. The man carries incredible fire power. A king wanted him killed, and the king sent an army of 50 soldiers and a captain. And they say, hey, you man of God, the king says, come. And Elijah will just sit there. If I'm a man of God, let fire come from heaven and consume you. And fire came. The man didn't even pray. He didn't lose anything. He just said, you said I'm a man of God. Okay, if I am, then let fire come from heaven and finish you up. 2 Kings 1. The king sent another team. 50 men. 50 soldiers, one captain. Hey, king, Elijah, the king says come. Then the captain sent to him and said, well, so he said to him, man of God, thou says the king, come down quickly. This captain was bold. So Elijah answered and said to them, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. What an anointing. Listen, he will be one of the people I want to spend some time with when I get to heaven. I just want to interview him. I said, Elijah, what was the source of that serious anointing? Elijah. And then when you fast forward to 1 Kings chapter 18, you get to verse 17 all the way to verse 40. I commend it for your reading when you get home. Israel had become an idol-worshipping nation. And Elijah was vexed in the spirit. So you know what? He said to the king, king, let's have a context. Bring 450 prophets of Baal, and not only that, and 400 prophets of Asherah. So in all, there were 850 prophets. You can find that in 1 Kings 18, verse 19. You see, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. So together, how many prophets? 850. He said, let's meet on Mount Carmel. Let's have a contest. Bring two cows. Take one, prepare one. The God who will answer by fire, he is the God. So they went. The king took Elijah at his word. So there was the context. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, all of a sudden, they called on their God. 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 Nothing happened. Elijah began to mock them. Oh, cry louder. Maybe your God is asleep. He even said to them, maybe your God has traveled. So let's take some time. Wait for him. He will come back. They did all that. Nothing happened. And then afterwards, Elijah took the other cow, prepared the altar. He dug trench around it. He said, fill it in 4 barrels of water. Elijah, you are asking for fire. Why are you putting water on the thing? Why are you making the thing more difficult? And then he said, no, add 4 more barrels of water. Let the thing be soaked. So when the fire comes, we know it was by no accident. Because I don't want you to say, when you put the firewood there, there was some scientific explanation that ignited the fire and something, something. So let's kill all scientific possibilities. Put water on the thing. Your God is not afraid to do the impossible. Your God is able to do it. He is able to do what others think cannot be done. That's the God you serve. In fact, somehow I pray and I wish that some of us will move from where we are to a new height of faith that can believe God for the impossible. I really mean it. In fact, I really, really mean it. And when all was said and done, Elijah now says, let fire come down. And he called on his God and fire came. Fire has now come, consumed everything. Amazing things. I don't know where the 400 prophets of Asherah went, but the 450 prophets of Baal, Elijah took all of them and finished them. One man. So Elijah is done. The king goes home, and the king now meets Madame Jezebel. And Madame Jezebel says, what happened? Elijah won the contest. He killed all the prophets. Jezebel sends a word. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. So let the God do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow. What is Jezebel saying? You killed all the prophets of Baal, right? In 24 hours, I'll make you like one of the prophets you killed. So you are going to die in 24 hours. A threat from the king's wife to a mighty prophet. Folks, I have something to tell you. Watch out for the spirit of discouragement. This man had come to a point where a mighty move of God, fire has come. Great witness for God. Prophets of Baal have been killed. Finally, Israel is returning back to the place of revival, a place of walk with God. By now, the news is all over the place. Elijah won the contest. And now, you know, the prophets even said, oh, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. So now, there is a revival taking place. Now, a message from Jezebel. You know how many times I've asked myself this question? One of the questions I will ask Elijah when I get to heaven. Elijah, how come the message from Jezebel rocked you so much after such a powerful move of God? When Elijah heard that message, he was so afraid. He fled. He ran away. In fact, I commend all of 1 Kings 19 to you. He ran away. The prophet of God ran away. Hid in a cave. What is a man of God doing in a cave? I command you in the name of Jesus, you come out of your cave. Some of you are hiding in caves. The call of God is upon you. The hand of God is upon you. The grace of God is upon you. There are seven things God wants you to do in life, but you are hiding in a cave because of something. Some economic forecast. Somebody said something. Some threat from somewhere. Somebody has given a pronouncement. Some prophecy from somewhere. Somebody said something to you, put fear in you, and you abandoned the dream and abandoned the high calling, and now you are hiding in the cave. Come out in Jesus' name. This morning, you are coming out in the name of Jesus. Whatever you are, it doesn't matter where you are hiding. It doesn't matter who put there. I have a word from God this morning for you. It is to tell you that you are still the choice of God to do what God wants you to do. You are still called and chosen by God. You are still the anointed of God. You can still make it. Discouragement hit Elijah's heart. That is what discouragement does. So, when he went in there, God asked him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Didn't God know where Elijah was? Why will God ask Elijah, what are you doing here? Literally, it's to say, Elijah, you are out of place. You are out of place. Oh, I pray in the name, I feel the unction of God. I pray in the name of Jesus that nobody will be out of place. I say you will not be out of place. If you've lost your place where God wants you to be, go back to that place and stay there and stand there. That is where you call the fire. That is where the anointing came. The same place where God moves is the same place you'll be challenged. Can I hear somebody? I said the same place. Oh God, help me. The same place where God has called you to stand. That is the same place you call the anointing. The same place you call the fire. The same place you call, you kill the prophets. That will be the same place Jezebel will challenge you. And that's the same place you stand. Mighty, mighty prophet of God hides in a cave because a discouraged spirit got hold of him. God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? You know what he said? I want to die. So he said, 1 Kings 9:10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Now get ready to do something I'm going to ask you to do right now. Get ready. You're going to bind that spirit of discouragement out of your life now. Now you're going to do it. I feel that everyone must do it. He said, Lord, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant from down, torn down your altars and killed your prophets. And now I am alone. I'm left and they seek to take my life. Now, Elijah now tells God, I want to die. Jesus, help me. I want to die. He said, I want to die. He said, I want to die. Discouragement grabbed, got hold of a great man of God. You know what God said? Look at him. 1 Kings 19 verse 10. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed. He prayed that he might die. I prayed that prayer 2 years ago. Thank God he didn't hear me. He prayed. This is a man of God praying. The same man who prayed for fire to come. The same man now is praying to die. I've been there before. I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you my story. Before you pray that God kill me, God take me home, you are at the point where it is finished. That day, Pindi got hold of me. Kwekwais and God of me. George looked at me and said, listen, I just want to die. I just want to die. I just want to die. I just, you know, I saw my life had come to an end. For me, 25 years of life had been destroyed. I couldn't see the next day. I just wanted to die that day. And all these men are around me and they're looking at me and they say, Pastor, it's okay. I said, no, you don't understand. You don't get it. It's not okay. I understand Elijah. He said, he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. The man just came from off the top of the mountain. What happened between the mountain and now? A discouraged spirit set in. You need to watch the spirit. Somehow, Elijah stayed there and got hold of the spirit until it got into him. And he could not break free. God said, you want to die? Okay, I'll give you 3 assignments. Go. Anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Anoint Jehu, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha. Look at verse 16. Look at it. And anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet. Look at the last 3 words. What does that mean? How do you replace somebody who is there? I rest my case. Anoint Elisha to now take your place. That's what that word is. When you get discouraged, be careful the things you say. If you don't take care, you stone your David. You stone the same person who have been good to you. You begin to say things you are not even supposed to say. You both cried. You both went. But discouragement spirit took hold of you. And now you begin to stone your David. Be careful. It's a demonic spirit meant to dry your bones. After having been used mightily of God, great man of God. I love Elijah. I'm telling you, he's beyond Jesus, my favorite prophet. But every time I get here, I take a pause. I say, not a discouraging spirit. But if this spirit could get hold of him, he can get hold of anybody. That's why we need to watch out. That's why this message is coming your way. Wherever you are hearing it, it's not by accident. God is sending it to you. Go and anoint Elisha in your place. In other words, I will not have a vacancy. You won't do it. I will replace you. Please be careful when God gives you an opportunity to do something, do it. God has not much time to waste. He always has a replacement. If I choose not to do the work God has called me to do, trust me, somebody better will do it. It's only a privilege for me. He said, anoint Elisha in your place. You know what? Elijah is recorded to have done 16 miracles. Elisha did 32. 2 times. Out of these 3 assignments, the only one Elijah did was he threw his mantle. Even that, when he was going, the mantle came. But what was the instruction? Look at the instruction. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, king over Israel. God was very specific. He said, anoint. How do you anoint? Pour oil on his head. Anoint. So technically, did he really anoint Elisha? So he didn't do any of them. The other 2 assignments, it was Elisha who got it done. Be careful of a discouraged spirit. God just took him home because you asked for it. I've already replaced you. Oh yeah, let's go. I won't even wait for you to die because you're a prophet. You can hold back death. I'll bring a chariot to take you home. I'll give you a quick ride. Somebody will rise and break the spirit of discouragement. It's meant to kill you. So something has happened. So what? Stand and fight it and move on. You are a champion. You are a champion. There is a spirit in you. Thank God for all those who prayed for me 2 years ago. I didn't know people were praying for. I didn't know people that had just got into. People were fasting and praying. I got to know all this later. That's why I made it. That was the only reason why God pulled me through. Because at that time, my faith could not even work. But today I'm here to pray for you. You can learn from my experience and don't allow a spirit of discouragement. When I woke up the next day and I saw I was alive, I knew I had to live through it. So I then had to go and find out, how do I overcome discouragement? I then had to now go and learn the same principles I've written and taught and preached. I had to now live it myself. So this series, I'm teaching you from my heart, from my experience. I'm not telling you stories. Can you say this after me? In the name of Jesus, every spirit of discouragement that has come upon my life, in Jesus' name, I break you down. I bind you. Your agenda is to drive my bones and drive me to my grave. But today, in the name of Jesus, your agenda is destroyed. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer in this life. I am victorious through the blood of Jesus. The Lord is with me. I am alive and well. You spirit of discouragement, I bind you. Get out of my life. Get out of my home. Get out of my mind. Get out of my spirit. In the name of Jesus, I have a merry heart. I have a happy heart. I have a joyful 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 heart. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, stand to your feet. Somebody, Mahrabataya. Santele beberi halababoa. Brakababo sabatala maboha. Yeberi kababa. You need a joyful heart, a joyful heart, a joyful heart.